Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for so much that you have done for us. You pour it out in buckets and heaps. And Father, we are so glad. We pray for our nation, Lord, that righteousness would be exalted amongst this nation. That godly things would take place amongst the leadership of this nation. And that the church of this nation, Lord, would rise up and take its place in kingdom manifestation. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, the many missionaries that we support. And Father, we pray for the nations when they experience trauma, such as our brothers and sisters in Ecuador. That Father God, that you would protect the church, not necessarily the physical building, but protect the people so that they can be then used as a vehicle of service to reach out to the lost around them. And so Father, we pray your protection and empowerment of our brothers and sisters in Ecuador. Thank you for this day and for the opportunities it brings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
So this song that we're going to be playing is called More Heart, Less Attack by a Christian band called Need to Breathe. And if you haven't heard this song, I just encourage you, close your eyes maybe, listen to the words. It really just speaks about how as God works through us, other people can see just how we live through love and how we can change the world just by having God live through us. So I encourage you to just take a listen to the words as we play.
Praise the Lord. Be more heart and less attack. Amen. By what group? Need to Breathe. Amen. Did Jimmy Swaggart ever sing that one? No, he didn't. I didn't think so. Hadn't heard it. Gaither? No, don't have it. Amen. So we're going to get into the Word of God this morning, continue the Word of God, and just share a few things about needing to change our society. Does anybody have an idea that maybe that our society is heading in the wrong direction? You figured that out? Okay. But what do we do about it? Or nothing? Well, that tends to be what we tend to do. So let's... I have several texts of Scripture that I'll bring out as the time comes. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we're in this place at this time and in this season. Lord, we do not reject our time that we are in because you have put us here for such a time as this. So, Father, we accept our place in time. We could wish for better times. We could desire old days. But, Father God, you put us here now. So, Father God, help us to be the light and salt that you've called us to be. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said? Amen. Unless you've been living in the land of the law left, you must know that this world is, and this culture that we're living in, is in serious moral problem. I'm going to share a few things just from this week's paper, all right? Maybe some of you, I quit getting the paper because the paper is like too depressing, right? Is that some of you, it's just too expensive for my, in my taste, but don't get it, but get it online now. We're in a nation that is killing our children. We have a youth builders team here this week, and so I want to look at the seriousness of what's happening to our young people, to our children. We have a nation that is enacting moral principles, or rather immoral principles, in their ethic that is actually killing our children. There's no opening joke in this sermon. It just gets right into it. There was an evil spirit that was around the day of the kings of Israel. It was called the God of Moloch. It was a demonic spirit. Moloch was in the Ammonite god. And that he was also known as Baal. And maybe you've heard of him a little more than Moloch. But this evil spirit, this demonic spirit, this false god, oftentimes Israel was drawn into the worship of this god. It was not our god. Amen. Moloch ain't our god. But the culture of the day would draw Israel into that worship. It was weird and evil worship. And it's hard for us to imagine people of Jehovah falling prey to a god, an evil spirit that was so wicked. The Moloch in its design was a brass human type of figure. And they would kindle in this brass figure a fire in its belly. So they would kindle this fire in this large idol. And the heat from that fire would go to the outstretched arms of Moloch. And so you would get this heat kindled in the belly, and then it would heat up the whole statue, and then it would put the arms red hot, and the hands red hot. So when they would take their children, their young people, their babies, and they would put it on the open arms of Moloch, of course, immediately it would burn and sear, and there would be horrific screams, of course, because it did not kill instantly. It was horrifying to even imagine. And of course, because of that horrific screaming, there was what they called the tophet. There was the drums of the Ammonites. And of course, they would, as the parent would bring their child to be sacrificed first upon this altar and then thrown into the, after the child died, horrifically upon the arms of this idol, then the priest would take the child off and throw it into the belly of the monster. And the music was loud, and the drums would beat, and so the people would all start to worship their God to cover up the screams of the children. The entertainment would then come out. Of course, there was this going on one side, the music, and there was dancers on the other side, and there was all these things going on, and there was flags and everything else. I've seen pictures of the worship, and it kind of reminds me of the entertainment of today, how the entertainment covered up the screams of the children. In Ontario, we in this country have quit taking statistics on abortion, but we estimate that in Ontario there was 28,000 children aborted last year. Quebec has a law against even reporting statistics on abortion because they don't want anyone to know. People are giving, they're not only killing their children, they're giving them away to be killed. There was a story this week out of Washington. A child was abandoned in a trash compactor. Paula Andrews, it says this was a gal who was, I'll read what it says in the National Post. Paula Andrews threw a bag of garbage into a massive trash compactor at her high-end condo apartment building in Everest, Washington, where she works as a maintenance supervisor. Before she pushed the button to bring the compactor into play, she heard some muffled sounds inside of the compactor, and thinking that it was a kitten, she dove into the garbage. Went through, she said, about 20 bags of garbage. Of course, don't forget, these bags of garbage come down from the high rise, comes down into this trash compactor from above. And when she got through to the 20 bags of garbage, she found a baby, a newborn child. She said, "Thank God I didn't hit that button. I mean, that baby, had it not cried 1 second before I hit that button." That's all she had to say in this report. 2-year-old child Ellie Saunders, this week in the National Post, was not so fortunate. She was killed by her father because she was interrupting his online video game. He was so intent on playing his video game. He's 31 years old, grew up in this video culture. He was so intent in playing his video game that when the child bothered him, he simply kept on playing, took the child and squeezed his hand in her face, and did not realize it, I don't believe, at least that's his plea, that he suffocated her to death while he was playing a video game. Sergeant Jackson Babcock said, "Michael Saunders, 31, pressed his hand over her nose and mouth because she was disrupting him as he played computer games." And the constable or sheriff, I guess it's American, said this: "He's very involved in gaming." That's very involved. Locally, of course, in Ontario, again, in Attawapiskat, did I say it good enough? You know, in one week, there was 30 attempted suicides by young people. Just the last paper on Friday, there was 80 arrests in the province of Ontario for child pornography. From Sault Ste. Marie to Toronto to Ottawa to Cornwall to Kingston, 80. And they listed the names. You can go online. They actually listed the names and people and location of 80 people involved in child pornography ring in one particular bust by the combined efforts of the OPP and other police organizations. That's this week. Okay, I'm just took a week out of the space of time and say, you know, I'm going to see some things that are going on in our community, in our area. And why is this happening? Why is some of these things taking place? Because we're communicating a confused message. We're looking and we're struggling to find some kind of moral base and some kind of moral value, and we're not doing it very well. Here's what Dr. Alex McFarland said about our culture today. He's a sociologist and Christian teacher. He said this, "We are in the process of throwing away 6,000 years of human history, moral boundaries, and the basis for Western civilization." Just turf it away. Because for 40 years, coalitions and activists have been dictating the majority how it should be. He goes on to continue to say the fight against gender is a fight against the natural law, and the fight against natural law is the fight against Almighty God. There's some things that are going on in the news today that are really putting the fist in the face of the Almighty. And there's two things, and I'll mention it. It's not popular to bring it up in any church. Now, I understand. But one is about telling God what gender you are. And the second thing is telling Almighty God when you're going to die. The one who created you, the one who fashioned you, the one who made you, the one who brought you in here, telling Him what gender you are. And then laws being passed in our nation, telling Him, this is when I'm going to die and this is how I'm going to do it. What are we going to do? First thing, we need to pray. Does that sound trite? Does that sound too easy? Does that sound, whoop-de-doo? Can you get excited about that? Do pray. But number one, my first point is this. To pray for the Spirit to guide us. To pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us. And not to despise small things. In Zechariah chapter 4, the prophet of God, Spirit of God, God Almighty, spoken to Israel, and he said this thing in the context of a whole lot of other stuff, but I want to pull that out. He said this, "Do not despise the day of small things." And friends, when you're in prayer and praying for our nation and praying for our society, friends, when little things take place, can you rejoice in that? You know, if you put a dollar away since you were like 10 years old and put it in the bank and saved it, I'd be speaking to a whole lot of millionaires here today, Winnie would be a billionaire, I think. Amen? If invested that money every day, if you just took a dollar and invested every day until you're 86, 7, something, little things add up. How do you eat an elephant? One small bite at a time. That's the kind of the way it goes, Your prayer is critically important to the task. And some people will say, well, what does my prayer matter? What can one person do? Friends, there is a sphere of authority that God has uniquely given you. Lives that you can touch, the Lord can touch through you that nobody else can. Because you are important and strategic in some sector of society and some part of our culture. So these two things I ask you. Number one, don't be overwhelmed by the need. And don't be underwhelmed by your contribution. Can you hear me? Don't be overwhelmed by the need, but don't be underwhelmed by what you can do. Don't confess that you don't make a difference. I want to just look at one text of Scripture here this morning. Well, I'm going to look at several, but Matthew chapter 18. Look at this one text of Scripture. And of course, I'm plucking it out there, and I think I give enough of it to get the context of it. But in Matthew 18, you all know this text of Scripture. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto you, that if two of you would agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Don't despise the day of small things. He's using some legal terms here when he talks about binding and loosing, and I'm not going to get into great detail about it, but simply say this, friends. When you're going to the court of heaven, when you're doing business, why don't you take them to court? This is the big thing today. Let's take them to court. Why? Because we like lawyers to make money. That's basically the, you know, when you, everybody's taking somebody else to court, and this is in 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 court. Well, why don't you take it to court? Take the situation to court. Somebody's doing something in your neighborhood. Somebody in your family is not living according to the laws of God. Somebody's doing something self-destructive. Why don't you take them to court? Take them to heaven. Bind and loose. Notice what he says there. He does not say that you are to pray and I will bind and I will loose. Jesus did not say that he would do it. What does he say? I put it in yellow just so you could see it. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind. Oh, you mean we have to do something? Yeah. You bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He didn't say, pray to me and I'll do it for you. He said, you loose, you bind. I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to give you the passion. I'll give you the resources. I'll give you the ability to bind and loose. I'll pour it into you by the Holy Spirit. I'll make an agreement. You come in a covenant agreement and confess with heaven and earth, things are going to take place in your life. Don't believe the lie of Satan that you don't make a difference. We are to bind. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Does that sound a little arrogant? Actually, it sounds scriptural. I take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do it. Yes, prayer is an important thing, but it needs to be Spirit-led and Spirit-guided prayer. Know what is to be bound and know what is to be loosed involves discernment and time and prayer. God is raising up prayer warriors to do this very thing. Dr. Cindy Jacobs, I read her book just recently. I got it. It was like 99 cents online, and it was like, you get back there. There you go. And I thought, well, this is great. It was regular $25. Now it's 99 cents. I'm going to get it. That's why I got it, because it was cheap. All right? I confess that. But when I started looking into it, I thought, man, this gal knows what she's talking about. And, of course, I have other books by Dr. Jacobs. And she said this, I believe God is raising up a powerful army of intercessors of all ages who will give their lives to pray for God to change the places where they live into holy habitations of peace, righteousness, and joy. Will you be one of them? Will you be one of them? Do you want to see change take place in our society, in our culture, in our community? Be a person of prayer. Be a person who takes authority. Be a person that is a channel for the authority of God. But friends, then, there's more. After you have prayed up, then you can speak up. I have done this wrong sometimes. I have spoken up, and then I really had to pray up. I got her mixed up. I got the course and the horse. Course and the cart, the heart and the course. We know what I mean. Backwards. I got her all mixed up. Thank you, Lord, for helping with that illustration by giving that a little extra. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I've got it all mixed up. I say something, and then, oh boy, I better pray to clean that up. Lord, help us. Once you're prayed up, then you can speak up. Hey, my member of parliament, my MPP, those boys know exactly where I stand. When it comes to euthanasia, when it comes to doctor-assisted murder, or abortion, or whatever it may be, they know. I send the things back. You know, I send an email to my MPP. They know who I am. They know I'm the pastor of Harmony Church. They know that I represent a group of people, and they know what I believe. I speak up. The second point is, don't be silent when God's laws are broken in your culture, but remember they are broken by broken people. Can you keep that in balance? I know these are very long points, but I couldn't make them smaller. Yes, we have to speak up when we see stuff around. Yes, we have to do something, but remember that the laws are being broken by broken people. We want to bring about redemptive social change. But it's not about defending ourselves. I'm confessing my sins here. I'm part of the evangelical church. I'm a weird part of the evangelical church, as this team has probably noticed. I probably win the prize for the weirdest pastor in all of Canada. Come on. Come on, just thank you. They've been from coast to coast, and they've been to Ireland, and glory to God. I'm in the running. I hope I'm in the top 10. Yes, definitely in the top 10. Definitely in the top 10. Thank you so much. You know, so I do speak up. But I will confess that I so often, as a shepherd, am concerned, and I think it's a priority for shepherds, I am concerned about protecting my sheep. And that is how I look at social issues in the world. Grrr, don't touch my sheep. And so I've come at, or don't touch me, or don't touch my family, or don't touch my children, or your ways, your ideas, your laws, your whatever else is affecting my family. And you get a little ugly about things. And that has been our way that the church has acted, which is just the same as the world acts. And so the strategy we have been is to attack the world for them being the world, for them being broken people, for them being dumb and ignorant and not knowing the ways of God, when we need to do it this way. And Lord help us, it's a spirit thing. We're here for you. And how do we change that and turn it around? We want to help you. You are broken. We have the answer. You are mixed up. We won't necessarily say it that way, but you don't have the right idea. Here is an idea that will help you. We want to help you in your brokenness to be restored and to receive healing. I am glad that the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada has changed its motto from a one that says, defending the faith. You know what that sounds like? Like, you watch out, world. We're gonna fight you. You just come, don't take away our Christian heritage. Don't take away, we're gonna fight you. We're defending the faith. Now, their new motto is this, and it's on the back of all of their, and I just happened to turn over a pamphlet that I had in my office. It said this. And this is how the Spirit of God brings stuff in for sermons. It said this. New motto. Uniting evangelicals to bless Canada in the name of Jesus. We are here to bless you. How can we bless you? How can we be a blessing to you? Is there something that we've got that you could use? Is there something we have that will bless you? Can we help you in some way? I like that. And here is the statement that they have made on life and in their... we're fighting with this doctor-assisted death issue here. We believe life is a gift from God which should be respected and protected through all of its stages. Each human life is inherent; it has inherent worth, regardless of age or physical, mental, or other abilities. Care for the sick and elderly is a part of God's call for all Christians. So we come at it more of, instead of us saying, and we recognize it, and I have to in the pulpit acknowledge there's evil out there. You can't hide it. You can't put your head in the sand. There is evil. There is wrong thinking. But here, world, when we're talking to the world, here's who we are. We're Christians. And we have to take life seriously. From natural birth until natural death. Not talking about keeping people pumping on all kinds of stuff and, weeks after they're letting people die. Allowing them to die. It's okay to die. You know that? It's part of life. It's okay. But we need a national strategy of palliative care. Not a get-out-quick scheme. Because with these laws that are coming in about doctor-assisted death, what the pressure is starting to put on people that are, as soon as you're diagnosed terminal, now you're going to start thinking, well, I don't want to be a burden to my family. You can call it dying with dignity. You can call it whatever you want. But the pressure is going to be on people with terminal illness, now mental illness. People that have been in psychiatric care because of attempted suicide multiple times, now they're wanting to get it so that they can end their life with dignity. Friends, it's a load of horse manure. The issue simply is this: let people die. That's fine. With dignity, that's fine. But care for them. There are a lot of nurses, people in palliative care, that do an awful lot more for the families than the families do. Because the families would like to just to see grandma, mom and dad, why don't you just take a hike? There are spouses. It's hard to watch somebody die, friends. It's hard. You get it? Does anybody think that that's easy? Yeah, thank you, brother. It's not easy. And what we want to do is let's just make it easy. You know that special things happen in rooms where people are dying? Kids that haven't dealt with issues because it takes a... instead of it happening just overnight, it takes a week, it takes 2 weeks. You know what happens? Stuff starts to get healed. Stuff starts to get dealt with that was never dealt with. And it's because it took them a while to die that those kids have to gather around mom and dad's or whatever's bed and deal with things. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, going out of this world sometimes isn't as easy as coming into this world. You know, 10 hours of labor and she's done, right, Pastor Dan? Or get the tub ready and, you know, bring a midwife in. You know, I mean, it's not easy. We don't know. You know, we don't exactly know how that baby's going to be born. We don't exactly know the time of it. We don't exactly know. But, you know, it's fairly, you know, there could be complications. There's sweat, there's tears, there's prayer. Oh, God, pray for us, you know, because we're having a baby at any moment now. And I understand that. But going out of this world sometimes is really unknown. And God has a plan for you in dying. Did you think of that? And you want to be God? And you want to tell Him how it's going to be? These are issues that the church... I'm sorry, I'm starting to preach on an issue, but these are issues that the church has to deal with. And we need to communicate to the world. If you don't, you know, we'll take care of you when you're dying. It won't be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be messy. It's going to be... yeah, there's going to be lots of stuff. It's going to be hard, but... to see, I'm just so blessed to see people in nursing homes and whatnot taking care of people that are dying is just a gift. Oh Lord, we must speak, but because we must speak, let's make sure we speak the right thing. Here is the text of Scripture, the next one, my son, and it's this. And Paul says it. He says it in Colossians chapter 4. He said, "Let your speech be always with grace." What is grace? Stuff you don't deserve. Oh. In other words, give them what they don't deserve when you're talking to the world. I know what they deserve. Oh. Grace says give them what they don't deserve. Season with salt. If the whole idea of giving them with grace doesn't get you, I mean, give it with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Thank you, Paul, for that. Salt's a preserver. It's a taste enhancer. It takes the message of the church and it makes it somehow something that they will respond to, that they will eat. We have to answer. But how are we going to answer? A believer can say the right thing at the wrong time in the wrong way and actually be counterproductive to the whole thing. We do need prophets, by the way. I'm not saying that there are no prophets. When I talk about prophets, I mean those that will speak hard on some social issues. God raises up prophets. But unless we have that special anointing to speak hard and clear and direct to society, be very careful. You may not be a prophet. All right? You may not be prophetic. You may just be pathetic. It's sometimes a fine line. All right? But God does raise up people to say hard things to our society and to our culture. I need to move on to the next and last one because time is running out. Don't be conformed to the world, but allow yourself to be transformed by the Word, so you can transform the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the Word so that you can be of some use to the world. That's kind of a parody on the text of Scripture, which I'll show you next, which is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You know it well, I hope. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Greek word is a nice one, metamorphe. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, I've always seen this text up until 30 seconds ago. I just got it now. Even sometimes when I'm preaching, I get it. The Spirit of God says, yeah, thankfully I get it sometimes. Sometimes it's after I'm done preaching, I get it. Oh, why did I say that? Anyways, you always think of this as prove to yourself what is the will of God. Right? I need to know what the will of God is for my life. I need to know who to marry. I need to know what job to take. I need to know what the will of God is. I need to know what to do. I need to know. Transform your mind so that you may prove that which is perfect, the good and acceptable will of God. But what about this? That if we're transformed, I'm just putting a new spin on it. I'm preaching as I walk. So, you know, I'll get the tape and see if I brought you off course here. But I'm just thinking now, as I look at that text of Scripture, could it not also be that helps us to show what the will of God is to the world? That if we're transformed, that we will be better agents to show the Word to the world? Think about it that way. We got to be transformed first before we can see the world transformed. If we're not transformed, how can we see an effective change amongst those that are around about us? John Piper said this, great Baptist preacher from the States. He said, transformation is not about switching from the to-do list of the flesh to the to-do list of the law. But the will of God is revealed as His Word is brought into us by His Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? It's no good just to change from the to-do list of the flesh to the to-do list of the law. Nothing can change our lives like the Bible changes our lives. Rick Warren said this. He said, I've seen alcoholics and addicted people transform to become sober. I don't even need a Rick Warren because I've seen it. Amen? You've seen it. You've seen how the Word of God can make a transformation in people's lives. I can't change human hearts. The Word of God can change human hearts. If I think that I could change human hearts, I should have been a politician instead of a preacher. I thought of doing that, actually. I want to know how many here would vote for me. You would, thank you. Yeah. That's about it. God, you can be my campaign manager. See, that's a problem, you know. I just wouldn't make it. I would, you know, I'd be a Donald Trump style of, not exactly what Donald Trump says, mind you, by no means, but, you know, I'd be putting my foot in my mouth and I'd say this and I'd say all the wrong politically, non-politically correct things, you know. I mean, I wouldn't have a chance. And so what I'd have to do is refine and get the ones in to coach me to say the right thing. And of course, before you know it, then the message is dead anyway. If I thought that politics was the way, then we should all be politicians. But it's the Word that makes the difference. It's the Word that makes the difference. The Word will make a change in our planet. We can legislate things to protect people, but we can't legislate morality. And the church has always struggled with this. We think that if we can influence the politicians enough so that they will make the right kind of laws, that'll make a difference. Friend, it doesn't change one single heart. We do that because we're good citizens. Therefore, my MPP and my MP know what I stand. Because I want to be a good citizen. And I want what's best for my country. And what's best for my country is that we don't kill our elderly, that we don't kill our babies, and that we have resources and we have issues available for our natives and for poor and all this kind of stuff. That's good. But to transform the heart, the Word of God has to be released into our society. God has to release us. Because where is the Word hidden? Thy Word have I hidden on the side of my car. Okay, now I do have the Word of God on the side of my car, but that's not what makes the difference. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee, Lord. And that keeps us from sin, hallelujah. But as we walk in this world with the Word hidden in our hearts, we become salt and grace and transformational in the communities that we live in. One last text of Scripture. I don't think I have it on PowerPoint. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says this. If you abide in my word, I just want to read it again, because those little if things are real important. They're real tiny little words, hinges on a whole lot. John chapter 8, verse 31. You want to look that up in your Bible? If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're free, then you can go out there and demonstrate freedom. Oh, we got a big challenge, amen. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be underwhelmed. God wants to use you. Sister, as you come in music, let's pray. Father, I just pray for us today, Lord, this congregation here and these people that are hearing this message. Father, I pray, Lord, we know we have issues. We know, Father God, that there's challenges. We know there's a deterioration of moral fiber in our nation. We know, Father God, that we're seeing confusion all over the place. People don't understand. They don't know who they are. They're struggling. They're reaching out in the dark for a little bit of light. Father, we pray. First of all, we pray, Spirit of the living God, guide us. We take authority in our homes. We take authority in our nation. We take authority in our community. We take authority amongst our young people. And we say we bind the devil in Jesus' name. We bind suicide in Jesus' name. The spirit of death. We bind the god of Moloch. We bind the abuse of children. We bind the murder of children. We bind the throwaway society ideology in Jesus' name. And we loose blessing into our land. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we will speak up, remembering that we're dealing with broken people. We will speak up, we will raise up, we will speak up and we will say, here's what we believe and here's why we believe it, because it's good and it'll help you. We send out missionaries, we send out evangelists to reach the lost because we love them. Not just because we want to convert them to our brand. And Father, help us, Lord, not to be conformed, because if we're conformed to the world, we're of no use to the kingdom. But let us be transformed by the living Word of God. That not only would we know the will of God, but that we would be billboards of freedom in our society today. In Jesus' name. Let's stand as we sing this song. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you, lifting up His countenance upon you, giving grace and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today.